Let's get to the Word of God and let's open it together. It's such fun to talk to you about the gifts. I know I've done it before and I hope you can remember every word. I spoke to you about it before, but if you've forgotten a bit, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Fantastic passage about gifts because it's sheer worship, but it's incredibly practical. It's about how we do church. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. We thank God for his living word. I want to look at this passage, which probably you're all very familiar with, from three different perspectives. Firstly, I'd like to see it from the perspective of God. I've got a bit of a thing about this, because we focus so much on gifts and we're immediately thinking of what I can do, and it becomes a very human level very quickly. Because we're using the language of gifts, we need to think about the giver. I mean, we've recently had Christmas, and maybe, I suppose I shouldn't presume, you've got some presents. And the truth is, every one of those presents had a message with it, didn't it? It conveyed a message about the person who gave it to you. And you looked at the present, you thought, gosh, they really thought this one through. They really cared. You know, they heard I said, I really like that perfume. I'm not speaking for myself personally. You know, and, you know, but they heard, because I said that back in March, but they remembered that. You know, and it's a gift comes with a message, doesn't it? We learn something about the person, about their love, about their care. Or perhaps, wouldn't be true in your family, but or perhaps you work out that they were obviously so quick that at the last moment they just dashed into a shop, got it, grabbed it, took it home and gave it to you. I mean, all these things are possible. But whatever, gifts bring with them a message, don't they? So my question is, what's the message that comes with the gifts of the Spirit? And the message is that God totally understands us and totally loves us and wants the best for us. Can I go back to the beginning of Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, where Paul says, I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way. This becomes more and more fascinating as the letter opens up, because we find that in all sorts of ways, they've done really badly in the church in Corinth. They've slipped up in all sorts of ways. But he looks for the ways in which God has enriched them in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. God loves us perfectly. and so he gives us gifts. Do you remember Jesus said, even you evil parents manage to end up giving good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give his Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So God's in the business of giving us good gifts. So just to talk about gifts, let's make sure that we convert that into worship. Praise God, he has given gifts to his church, before we get into the machinery of working out what the heck they are. Second thing about God is the unity of God. God is unity, Father, Son, and Spirit. There's diversity. They are different persons, but they are one, three in one. So through the gift of the gifts, God enables us to be one. We're very different from one another. I love Sunday morning. I love worshiping with God's people. We look around at one another and we say, we're very different from one another. We've got different backgrounds. We may have been born in different countries. We may have different first languages. We've got different temperaments, different education. You could come up with a whole load of things which keep us very, very separate and different from one another. But in the Spirit, we're brought together. We're one. Miraculously, we are one. And that reflects the nature of God. God is one and calls us to be one. We heard it in the very beginning of the passage I read to you. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So, praise God. So let's focus on God. God has given us these gifts. And as we look at the gifts, we think, God, you are a great God. One other thing I want to say about God, I could say quite a lot about him, but the dynamism of a creative God. And this is a really important point, because I think when we talk about gifts, we often think about a thing, almost like something you could put on the mantelpiece. That's my gift. The reality is God gives gifts to be dynamic. They can change. He may give it to you just for a short while. He may give it to you for a lifetime. That's very rare. But he gives you the gift to do a job. And therefore, we shouldn't see it as something we own, but something which God graciously gives to us to build up his church. So just a few things about God. But I think we should start with God rather than with us. Now I want to get to you. How about us? And the fact is this, we are all gifted. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? Because so often when we use the language, we say, oh, they're a really gifted flower arranger. Never been said of me. Or a really gifted pianist or a really gifted artist or whatever it may be. We tend to think, oh, these are the special ones. They're really gifted, you know. But then there's me. And I'm just ordinary. It's just me. Let's be clear. We are all gifted. We are all gifted. So we almost need to retune in our normal language. We're all gifted. That's just how it is. Now to each one of you, Paul says, chapter 12, verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one has been given a gift. So whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your education, whatever, you have a gift. And this is the challenging moment, isn't it? And people start, oh, yeah, but Jonathan, the problem is I don't know what my gift is. Can I do the Jonathan five-step guide to finding out what your gift is? I've definitely unleashed this on those of you who've been here through the years before, but that's fine, because you need to be reminded. If you don't know what your gift is, because so often people say they don't know what their gift is. So here it is, here's Jonathan's answer. If you don't know what your gift is, step one, thank God. You said, Jonathan, you weren't listening. I've just said I don't know what it is. Ah, what you do is you thank God for this mystery gift. Okay? If you're a mathematician, call X. Lord, thank you for this gift marked X. You know, okay? Then, secondly, ask him what it is. I don't believe God plays games. I think God really wants you to know what it is. So thank you for this gift. Have any clue what it is? Ask him, Lord, would you please tell me what my gift is? And I believe God wants you to know. I believe he will tell you what it is. But keep going, because there are 5 points. Third point, open your eyes. None of this is difficult. Well, unless you find it difficult. But open your eyes. Look around you, because normally it's absolutely obvious what your gift is. Normally the problem is people are saying, well, I don't really like that one. I'd like a really flashy one. But the reality is, almost certainly, you know what your gift. And you say, oh, I don't want him to say, just being nice to people, you know, being encouraging. You know, I want it something really, really, really special, you know, get mentioned in church meetings or something. Anyway, so thank God for the gift. Ask him what it is. Thirdly, open your eyes. It's probably pretty obvious. Fourthly, talk to somebody else about it. And almost whatever happens, talk to somebody else about it. Say, well, I think my gift may be whatever, encouraging people in worship, or whatever it may be. Talk to other people about it. Because often, even if you're unclear what your gift is, it will be stark, staringly obvious to other people. They say, you're such an encourager. Do you know, you just walk into a room and I just get so much encouragement, or whatever it may be. Talk to other people. Fifthly, use it. Use it. This gift we've just worked out, don't put it on the mantelpiece somewhere. Use it. And as you use it, God will speak to you. God will help you to see how you can use the gift and develop your gift. Very little is discovered, I think, about spiritual gifts sitting in armchairs. You need to get up and use it, do something with it, and learn as you use it. So this is just Jonathan's simple guide. But it's so important, isn't it, that we know what our gift is. You're all gifted. That's a given. I'm not going to negotiate with that. You're all gifted. You all have a spiritual gift. But maybe we need to do a little bit of work to find out what it is. What I love about Paul is we don't really think of him, I don't think, from his writings generally, as being much of a pastor. You think he's very bold and, I think he could be quite awkward company. But he's unbelievably sensitive in this passage about this sort of pop psychology of what goes on in our brains, where he's concerned, firstly, about people's inferiority complexes. I mean, this is deep stuff, isn't it? Because he said he obviously recognized in the church there were people who looked down on their gifts because their gift wasn't really important, not compared with other people. You know, it's funny. I'm sure he understood it as funny. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't really belong to the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't really belong to the body. It's pathetic, isn't it? But he said, rubbish, nonsense. You do belong to the... Stop looking down on yourself. I would say this disease of inferiority complexes is one of the most inhibiting things for the growth of a church. People looking down on the gift. Never look down on the gift that you have. Why? Because it's been given to you by God. How dare you look down? It's just another version of looking down on God. God has given you a gift that he wants you to use to build his church. And the other problem is superiority complexes. People think they're so important, they keep looking down their nose at other people who've got inferior gifts. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, well, I don't need you. We never look down on other people. Never think that somebody is unimportant. Part of the time, well, probably much of the time I was working here, I was doing some work with prospects, as was Richard. And prospects, for those of you who don't know, was a fantastic charity that does work with people with learning disabilities. And it was eye-opening, incredibly eye-opening, to spend time with that charity and to get to know the work that they did. And spending time with people, many of whom who had no language, never spoken, and many who could speak but had very, very limited language. I think of many times in those years when I just found myself with people, and it is very easy to be patronizing It's very easy to say, oh, poor dears, you know, they can't, you know. And almost to think, well, this scripture doesn't really work with them because what can they give? I then went to a fantastic meeting for people like the Prospects Group in Bucklebury, you know, where Kate came from. And just an extraordinary meeting where they were talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amazing, where the people largely couldn't talk. And the speaker said, I see the gifts of the Spirit amongst you here this evening. I need to hear this. He said, firstly, we've got Tamsin. It's Tamsin. Who has the most wonderful gift that Spirit has given to her of welcome. And Tamsin would sit there going, and if anybody came through the door, they would be enveloped. You know. And he said, you know, Tamsin gives us this wonderful gift of welcome. And we need to celebrate this wonderful gift that Tamsin gives to us all. And there was a guy called Pete. Pete had a few words, but not a lot. He also had very few teeth. Doesn't matter. God still loved him and all the rest of it. But he had a big smile to go with his lack of teeth. And again, and he said, and Pete, he just makes everybody happy. Whenever people see Pete, they just make him happy. And that's the gift that the Holy Spirit has given to him. And then there was this girl who really did seem to be somewhere else, who spent the whole time, I mean the whole time, singing. I mean, after a while you think, can we tune this down a bit? But he said, and I can't remember her name, Sarah perhaps. No, it was Rosie. He said, and Rosie gives us this beautiful music that we can enjoy. And I just found that so precious. You know, these folk who would be easy to say, oh, poor dears. Actually, we were just saying, no, God's given them gifts. God gives everyone a gift. How dare we look down on anybody and think they are not gifted. They're somehow outside it. So let's treasure every single person. Can I name Evelyn in all of this? Many of you won't even have met Evelyn, just a name. Evelyn had a degenerative disease of great complexity. I never finally remember the whole name of it, but was a woman of exceptional grace and sensitivity and wisdom. It would be very easy to look at Evelyn, those of you who can even remember her coming to church, and think, you know, she had a lesser role. Don't you believe it? Here was a giant of the faith. Here was somebody who proved her faith incredibly through long, long years of desperately ill health. What I'm saying is we need to treasure everyone. And I thank God for Evelyn and her sweetness and kindness. Kept in email contact with her towards the end, which was great. So I'm talking about you. You've got a gift, and your job is to find out what that gift is and to use it. Two questions have been raised, which are really good questions. I love questions because they make you think, don't they? Where do natural gifts fit? Where do they fit with spiritual gifts? Where do they? Let's be clear that they're all gifts from God. They're all gifts from God. So somebody who is just a fantastic artist, they may know nothing of God, but we want to say, praise God, he's given that gift. What then happens to somebody who's a gifted flower arranger or a gifted pianist? Not a Christian, but they've got this gift which comes from God because he does things like that. And then they become a Christian. What happens? What happens is that this gift that they have can be given to God, and God can then use and develop. So it's no longer a gift that's just for themselves, so they enjoy and do their performances and enjoy what they do for themselves. It's suddenly something that can be used to build the church and to encourage other people. So what I'm saying is we don't need to see a sharp distinction between those sort of natural gifts, if you like, and spiritual gifts. God is able to use it all. He's just amazing like that. The other question has come from one of your house groups, which is great, which asks the question, is there a hierarchy of gifts? Because Paul does say, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So he does seem to be seeing a ranking of gifts. So the question is there a hierarchy of gifts? And if so, are there first and second class Christians? The answer is, as to many questions, yes and no. Firstly, is there a hierarchy of gifts? Yes, there is. There's no question. Paul is saying, I want the gifts which are most likely to build the church. And we should desire those gifts. So prophecy is at the top. And in chapter 14, verse 7, he says, he urges the Corinthians to seek to excel in the gifts that build up the church. So there's no question, he's looking for the best gifts to build the church. Does that mean there are therefore first and second class Christians? Emphatically, no. Why? Because we've had the answer already. Paul expressly says there should be no superiority complexes. We should never look down at another gift. We should never think there are lesser gifts, because actually the parts that seem to be less important, may seem to our eyes to be less presentable, are actually indispensable. They're all vital. Okay? So yes, that we're given gifts to build the church, and we want the gifts that will build the church best, but we mustn't get into thinking there are different rankings of Christians. No, we're all gifted, and God wants us all to use our gifts for him. Okay, thought about God, thought about ourselves. I want to talk about the church for a moment. Gifts are given for the sake of the whole church, and that's clearly what went wrong in Corinth, and lots of things went wrong. And so Paul has to remind them that what matters before anything else is love. And the beginning of chapter 13, he paints this picture of the sort of spiritual person who seems to have it all, you know. If I speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, not just a good preacher, but a fantastic preacher. But he says, if you haven't got love, you're wasting your time. Better you've not turned up in the first place. If I have the gift of prophecy, he's already said how important prophecy is. If I have prophecy and can fathom all mysteries, it'd be handy, wouldn't it? And can know all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, now that really could come in useful, couldn't it? Anyway, shunting a few mountains around would be a lot of fun. But he says you might have that kind of incredible faith, incredible ability. He says, but if you haven't got love, you're nothing. You're just nothing. Just get used to it. You're nothing. Why? Because we need love before anything else. If I give his commitment to faith, don't know how committed you are, but try this. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, that's commitment. But haven't got love, I gain nothing. Do you get the point? Love is all important. And what clearly had happened in the church in Corinth is they were so proud of their gift, speaking in tongues. Well, he's great, you should hear me. You know, they were boasting about their gifts, and they missed the love. Friends, if you want to build this church, build it in love by using the gifts that God has given you. But we must be building every step with love. Just a few takeaways I suggest for you. Firstly, as a church, practically, these are things for the church meeting agenda, really. You need to actively encourage the identification and growth of gifts. You know, if they're right at the heart of God's purposes for this church, you need to make sure that you know what they are. And you can use Jonathan's 5-step guide or Colin's 6-step guide, I don't care. We just need to find out what the gifts are and use them. That was the first takeaway. The second is this, which I think is really important. Encourage people to take risks. The development and growth of gifts starts with somebody saying, I don't know if I can do this, it might all go horribly wrong, but I'm willing to give it a go. We need that spirit, and the church saying, go for it. If you fall flat in your face, it's fine. We'll be there to support you and love you and lead you through it. But we've got to have the opportunity of just trying things out. When I was a teenager, as many of you will know, somebody in my church, a retired missionary, came up to me and he said, "Jonathan, I think God wants you to preach." I can still remember where I was in the church, standing at the back of the church. Derek came up to me. I so much wanted to say no. I just felt embarrassed. I just thought, all right, yes. And he gave me 2 preaching engagements. I was 18. And I thought, this is so embarrassing. You know, take the whole city. And the thing that everybody is nervous about when they start is they'll dry up. Do you know, you get 5 minutes into the sermon and say, amen. You know, oh, so embarrassing. Do you know, and I can remember that first occasion, went out to a little village just outside Southend, made sure the family didn't come, didn't want embarrassment. And this little chapel was full of people. And I shared the word, and I didn't try it. I kept going, and we got to the end of it. Unfortunately, there was a lady at the back who was a family friend, almost as bad, Miss Savage. I just hadn't reckoned on her being there. And she came to me at the end of the service, and she didn't say anything. She could have said something, so the family must be so proud, or something silly. And she just said, "Jonathan, the Lord was with you tonight." And I just thanked the Lord for that moment, just because I really was stepping out. I was thinking I'd probably never do this again, you know, but just that bit of encouragement. I'd stepped out. And we need to encourage people to step out, to take steps, to go further for God, and just to be with them, to love them and support them in it. I'm really excited to talk to you about this because it's something active, it's something dynamic. It's about 2023, isn't it? It's not going to be like last year or those years ago when Jonathan was the transitional minister here. It's 2023. God is doing something new, and he needs your gifts and your love and your commitment to make this thing grow. May God bless you, and as you now know, I'll be watching you every step of the way and praying for you that God will bless you. Let me pray for you right now. Lord, above everything else, we just want to say thank you for the gifts. Thank you that you are willing to use even people like us to build your church. It just seems incredible. But Lord, that's your way. You love us and you want to use us. And so I want to pray, Lord, for the outpouring of your Spirit upon your people here in CBC. Church, I love so much. Thank you for the fellowship that we enjoyed in those years we walked together. But Lord, I'm interested in this year. I'm interested in what you want to do right now. So speak to us and encourage us, Lord, and enable us to see what is your good and perfect will for each one of us in this new year. Because we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Just as our musicians are preparing to lead us in this song, the children will be coming down in a moment. But take this moment, take this time, because as we get to the end of a service and you're going to have this strange routine of leaving the building and going standing out in the car park for a little while and have your head counted and then back in again, okay? Four exits are that way and that way, by the way. Consider what God is saying to you. What gift he has already stirred up in you, or the gifts he is making you aware of. And think about ways today, even within the next half an hour, you may be able to exercise that gift. Let's sing.